City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing.
It is Bloke Talk. It is City Talk 105.9. And it's the weekend, which means we have three blokes in the studio. I'm one of them. I'm Duncan Barks. And the other blokes you can hear just jittering away in the background like chimps. We're here for the weekend and we're just talking about stuff as blokes do when they get together. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm kind of wondering whether or not we should rename Bloke Talk Horse Talk this week. I'll tell you why. Because the two other blokes in the studio with me this weekend have some quite severe betting habits. In fact, I think they are borderline gambling addicts. We do have Kelvin Roberts, who is better known as Vino. So hello to you.
Hello to you.
And to my far left, which will be nothing to you if you're listening to this, is Paul Jacobs, who you all know because Paul Jacobs does the potentially award-winning Drive Time show.
I wish.
On City Talk 105.9.
So
it's betting talk. And I'll tell you what's interesting about this, because you two, you like to think that you're good bettors and good tipsters. Jacobs, of course, is a renowned tipster, and yet you two always back different horses with varying degrees of success. So I want to talk about that a little bit later on, because there'll be a lot of us listening to this who don't mind the old flutter on maybe the Grand National or Cheltenham or whatever, but you guys seem to do it on a almost daily basis. Vino, you've been on this show before, haven't you?
I have, yes.
And Paul, you haven't, and we don't know a great deal about your personal life, which we need to find out as the hour continues. So
ask no questions, I'll tell no... Maybe not.
Well, let's talk about the betting, because you both kind of... What's the story there? I mean, Jacobs, for people who don't know, you are a professional tipster? Is that how can we brand you? What category should we put you in?
I would say I make about 40% of my earnings in a year through gambling through tip. Yeah.
Okay. So what's that through? Do you give tips to the newspaper? Do you run a little phone line? How does it work?
Vino,
I lose 40% of my earnings through gambling.
So this is quite a nice balance. Balance, isn't it, really?
He's going to say I print my own money in a shed at the back of the garden, but I don't. Now I run a tipping line, but that really doesn't get me anything because people don't listen to me.
Right.
It's actually for my own bets, and I can go like 6, 8, 10 weeks without having a serious bet.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, it's all about patience in this game, and I think life's about patience. You know, you look for the right woman to come along. You've got to be patient to find your soul.
You're listening to this,
partner.
Vino. Patience for the
patience.
Right woman.
Yeah, like, I'm mighty waiting for the right woman. You can sow your seed. That's fine, but while you're racing for the one that matters, you've got to show patience, diligence, and a good sense of judgment. And that applies to betting as well.
Okay.
Patience, diligence, and above all, judgment. And you know what I think this is a great thing, a principle in life overall, Duncan, is that once you find an edge in life, so you see the woman you want, you grab it.
Right.
You get there.
Okay.
Okay? Once you see you have an edge over the bookmakers and you see an opening to make money, you grab it because you have an advantage.
Yes.
You get it.
Right.
Once you realise your mother-in-law isn't the person you thought she was, you don't grab it, you don't get it, you run a mile.
What I'm liking about this conversation so far is that there are parallels that you're suggesting between relationships and betting.
Absolutely.
So how many times have you lost in relationships?
Both are very chancy, that's what you're trying to... How many times? Well, I think the more pertinent question is this, Dunk, is how many times, and you can be a little, show your female side here, I'd love to hear from Vino, how many times can you say in your life you have truly, been in love?
Yeah.
How many times? Come on.
Twice.
Twice.
And what you're nicely doing is not answering my question by posing another question to me, which is good, so well done, but twice, go on.
Go on, Vino.
Twice.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it depends. All right, you want to get philosophical about this, and that's because this is the perfect forum to talk about it.
Okay, we'll go ahead.
What is love?
Love is a sense of rounded happiness.
Yeah.
That you want that person.
Well, I get that the morning after with lust.
Well, lust is a major part of love.
Yeah. How much of a part? Two-thirds, a third?
Well, it depends how long into the relationship you are. Yeah. I think it goes steadily downwards.
You see, I fall in love literally on a daily basis. Well, I went to the Halifax Building Society today to put a check in. Katie behind the counter. I was in love with Katie for about 30 seconds.
He didn't fancy her.
Oh, I thought she was gorgeous. I was in love with Katie.
Oh,
I thought Katie was absolutely superb.
You were in love.
But for about 30 seconds, well, that was it. It was lust. But you know, how much does lust make up love? you know,
I think lust can turn to love.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. It's happened to me. Yeah. Yeah, it's happened to me.
Yeah, right.
It's definitely happened to me, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, lust keeps a relationship alive in the early stages. And then all of a sudden, love envelops over lust.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
I think you're
right. But I have to say, I'm a very lustful man.
Yeah. It is City Talk, 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. It's Bloke Talk for the weekend. I've got a funny feeling this can go anywhere, and it probably will. Kelvin is here, better known as Vino. Paul Jacobs, who you will hear Monday to Friday, 4 through until 7, on City Talk, 105.9, and we're just talking about stuff. Where do we get to?
Your lovely wife.
Yeah.
She's come into the tower before with your beautiful little, lovely, lovely woman.
Yeah, I don't...
you first clapped eyes on her, tell me how you felt.
Oh, yeah, but I felt great, yeah.
No. Great.
That's great.
How did you feel?
Well, do you want to be poetic? The bunnies were leaping over the mounds of grass in the distance under the windmill. What do you want?
Listen, Roger McGough, tell me straight how you felt.
I felt good.
Did you lust after her?
Yeah.
Did you love her straight away?
I think so. Yeah. It gets stronger each day.
That for me is the greatest measurement.
Well, there you are.
Of your relationship being so solid.
Yeah. How do we get onto my relationship here?
Because it's all about the three of it. It's not just about me and Vino. It's you as well.
Yeah. I have bared my soul on this on this show week after week. You know, nothing is off limits, and I'm quite happy to say because I ask people questions, and it's only right. So I'm quite happy to do that. Now I've paid my dues. It's your turn. In fact, it's your turn.
Yeah,
where do we get to? We're talking about betting, and we were talking about relationships.
Edie's gelding for a start.
See, I think if I was ever gelded, and I lost the possibility of procreating again, I'd jump off the top of this tower.
Yeah. Would you ever have a vasectomy?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
Because I know at least two men, one man who's basically on the brink of divorce. I'm not going to name them, but they're on the brink of divorce because his wife asked him for one thing. She says, I want you to do one thing for me. Mm. Will you have a vasectomy? Because they had a couple of kids and they weren't planning to have any more. And he refused to do it. When it came down to the crutch, right down to the fact they went to the hospital and everything.
Right down to the wire.
Yeah, literally. And he just got there and he went, I can't do this. She said to him, why wouldn't you do this for me? He said, because, you know, tomorrow you might leave me and I might meet someone else and I might want to have a child with that person.
Then the love isn't deep enough.
Her thing, her whole thrust of the kind of like, you're not, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore, is the fact that he would not do that for her. And if he really loved her, she would do it. And his argument is, look, of course I love you, but...
How old is he?
He's 48.
So what's the chance of having another kid? Actually, really interesting. I went to Hong Kong Day at Ascot a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I went up, I've got two kids, as you know, age 9 and 12. Mm. And I went to have my future told by this guy. And he goes, you're going to have another kid in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Unless it's already running around at the moment. You're going to have three kids.
Yeah.
And I had two.
Yeah.
So I'm now trying to work out where the other one's going to come from.
Yeah.
So I'm being very, very careful.
Yeah. I want to explore this whole thing because whilst there's a bit of jesting and joshing going on here, the parallels between betting and relationships, and you very nicely, very early on, refused to answer my question, so let's revisit it. And I'll make it, because I'm fascinated by this, because Vino I work with on a daily basis and quite intimately because he works on my show, and he'll be there at the racing post, and we're going, oh, I'm going to have a look at this. Okay. Well, how did you get bitten by the betting bug? What's the story?
I actually, when I was in my early teens, I went to ride out for trainer in Lancashire called Jack Berry, a place called Cockerham, and I worked in a summer holiday and I loved it. And that wasn't touching upon the betting side of things at all. I was just mucking out, I was riding horses, and I absolutely adored it.
Yeah.
And then it's really funny, about a year and a half later, it was about 15 and a half, the whole family went to the Norfolk Broads for a holiday.
Mm.
And on the way back, my dad said, let's go to Newmarket racing in Newmarket. And I didn't know anything about racing, so it was totally chance. And I said to my dad, listen, come on, every single race, back Willie Carson, because there's only jockey ever heard of. Yeah. I hadn't heard of Lester Pickett. Willie Carson was the man, I loved him. You know, he was my idol. Yeah. And Willie Carson won four of the five races.
Really?
So I was deemed, you know, this fantastic forecaster. And ever since then, I then began to take an interest in it, serious interest. And it just went from there.
You see, because if you're in a relationship, would you describe, would you say you're not addicted? Because you said you could go 8 to 10 weeks without placing that.
Absolutely.
So you're controlled. You're 100% major controlled.
Got to be.
Right. How does it work if you're in a relationship? Because I know men who are in a relationship who even if they start saying, I'm going to have a bit of a flutter, their wives are kind of like,
You can be addicted by a relationship, by a woman.
Yeah.
They can become an addiction.
Yeah.
The last woman I went out with, and then we split up after a while, I then went to see someone about it who was able to read into the past and the future.
Yeah.
And do you know what she said about the relationship? She said, when you came along, you were like a piece of chocolate cake to her. And she became very, very greedy.
Yeah.
And she stuffed herself every time of the day or night she possibly could.
You paid this person to say this to
you? No, until she became totally sick.
Yeah.
And once she became sick, she wanted to try something less fruity. That's what she told to me. Straight up, that's what she... I think love and gambling is a chance thing. What's the chance of you meeting your perfect woman with so many billions of people on God's earth? What's a chance?
Yeah.
And there could be, for the, even though you're in love with your wife and you're deeply in love with your life and you adore your kid more than anything else in the world, what was the chance that there's another 10,000 people you could equally have fallen in love with?
I think you're right. How do you know it's a real thing?
You just, it's a sixth sense in a way.
Because I had a mate, thought he had absolutely everything. And he was convinced he was in the perfect relationship. Then, by hook and by crook, he met someone else who he was actually working with.
Mm.
And then what he thought, he used this analogy, and it's a little bit sickly, but it kind of demonstrates the point. What he thought was Coke, i.e. the real thing, he said, turned out to be Pepsi. And this new person he met was just like everything 100 million times better than it was with this person.
An even better analogy is this.
Go on.
You go to one job, you earn £20,000, you spend it, you think you can't spend any more. You get to your next job, you earn £35,000, you'll still spend all £35,000 on something, whether it's a necessity or a luxury.
Yeah.
And so there was, it's that old cliche, isn't it? Other side of the fence, grass is greener, Joe. That's what it's about. So possibly, you know, beware, Duncan Barquez. There could be another woman out there who will make you happier than your wife. Then come to me on my show and talk to me about it.
I will.
But think about it. No, seriously, that could be the case.
Well, it goes back to my question. How do you know?
Wife happier
absolutely.
Than
how do you know? Because you think what you have is perfect and it's absolutely bang on, so you don't. So it actually comes back that, you know, you made this point that you meet this person who you think you're in love with and you hope it's true love and it's the best thing in the world, but what are the chances of meeting that person? And that comes back to the whole thing with what are the chances of the horse that you might pick in the 3:30 at Chepstow winning?
What is the ultimate zenith of a relationship?
Yeah.
What is the ultimate zenith watertight bet?
Yeah.
We don't know. We can't put a figure on it. We really don't know. You know, I can say before a race, this horse is everything. I've waited for it. I've looked at the way the pattern, the way the horse is trained, the way that the pattern of the horse, the way it's raced throughout the year. The ground is right.
Yeah.
The distance is right. Yeah. The class of the race is right. The trainer's in form. And when it wins, I wish I had more on it because it was a certainty. Or it could absolutely bomb out. You never truly 100% know before the horse is going to run that it's going to win. And, you know, hindsight's the greatest thing in life. Always will be. And it's the same with relationships. You know, you might have seen, you know, I'll tell you a story very quickly.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's pause for a second and come back and talk about the story, because we're going off all over the place, which is the beauty of this radio show. For those people who've just tuned in and wondering what the hell's going on, it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool, and this show airs at the weekend here. It's called Bloke Talk, and it's one of those rare things in media and broadcasting where it does what it says on the tin. It's blokes talking about stuff. The reason we've been talking about betting is both Vino and Paul here, they like more than the flutter on the horses, and I've learned some interesting things since being in the company of these blokes, and we'll explore that a little bit later on. And also in the past past 20 minutes, we talked about the synergy between betting and meeting the love of your life, and we've heard a lot from Paul Jacobs, and we need to hear more from Vino to get his take on what's going on, and also get back to Paul's story, which we'll do in a few moments' time. It is Bloke Talk, and it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
I'm Duncan. Hello. Vino's here. Paul's here. It's Bloke Talk at City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Thank you for tuning in. Hope your weekend's going well. Paul Jacobs is about to tell us a story, ladies and gentlemen. He assures us it's a true real-life story.
Yeah, a massive, massively true story. I went down to Chelsea College on the south coast to do a four-year degree to become a B.Ed.
Yeah.
And it was the best years of my life because I'd never lived away from home, opened my eyes.
Yeah.
And I actually roomed with this guy, this Dutch guy called Richard, a lovely guy, but knew nothing about life.
Right.
And he never really had a serious girlfriend. And all of a sudden at college, he met this lovely girl called Deborah. Absolute beauty. Unbelievable.
Did you meet Deborah?
Oh, yeah.
Describe Deborah to us.
About 5'8", shoulder length, black hair, beautiful hazel eyes.
Yeah.
a shape that just made a blancmange look disgusting. And she was different gear. She was, in my favourite word, right, ultra tremendous.
Right.
But she wasn't for me because, yeah, A, she didn't find me attractive. Yeah. B, because she had a personality like a dead pea.
In what way?
Well, she was just bland.
Really?
She was wet. She was boring.
But good looking. Isn't that the case, though? Sometimes some of the most attractive women you meet, you know, and it's that kind of textbook thing, you know, they might have the perfect measurements, they might have the blonde hair, the blue eyes, everything. You meet them, and you can, like, open their mouth, and you go, oh,
yeah, but,
oh, no, can no.
Can I ask Vino this? When you've met a woman, do you have, like, a favourite shape of a woman?
Not really,
Is there a shape you go for?
More voluptuous than skinny.
Yeah. Right, see, I go for the medium to skinny, but not skinny, yeah, right?
Why don't you like skinny?
Because I have to use my hands.
Yeah. You like something to grab hold of, that's what
you've
you
got to.
Yeah. You see, voluptuous is a good word. I think that's a very sexy word. I love voluptuous.
You like voluptuous, don't you?
Yeah. Because to me, it shows passion, actually, for other things in life. Do you know what I mean?
But there's got to be a brain there as well as the look. Anyway, let's get back to Deborah.
Go back to your story, Deborah.
So Richard and Deborah, they start, and it was the first love of his life, and he was absolutely infatuated, and she was very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, you go to a party, she was far from the life and the soul. She'd sit in a corner with Richard, and they talk. What a bore that was. And they talk, and you know, I'd have like tete-a-tete, so they'll be in the refectory at college, and she was, quite honestly, she was boring. She was beautiful, but she was boring.
Yeah.
You know, it was like watching the dripping of a tap. Anyway, so he was going out for about two terms, and they were totally in love together.
Right.
And I had to go round to her. She didn't live in a hostel at college. They were in a sort of a house on their own, her and three other women.
Yeah.
And I went there. I was doing a project, one of the other girls that she was living with. And I went round there one Sunday afternoon. And I went and knocked on the door. Nobody's there. I opened the door, walked in, went to the lounge. Nobody was there. So I started like going around all the bedrooms, shouting, is anybody there? Because I had to speak to one of the other girls. And to this day, it's the biggest shock of my life. I have to say, I nearly needed someone who was a paramedic to be on hand for me there. Because I went into Deborah's room, and there she was on top of the duvet. And that shattered my illusions of Deborah. But then I was in this thing. I thought, what do I do? Do I tell Richard?
Yeah.
Here's this quiet, unassuming, terribly, terribly beautiful woman who all of a sudden is off the radar with what she was doing here.
Yeah. So quite a moral one, isn't it, really?
Well, it is. I told him.
Yeah, what did he say?
I told him exactly what I've told you.
Yeah.
And he directly approached her the next day and she said, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the end of that.
Interesting.
And I probably shattered someone who was in, they could have been in love for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So do I sort of berate myself for that? No, I don't, because I think I did the right thing.
It's a moral one, isn't it? Because what do you do? Because you could have actually, as you just rightly pointed out, there could have been true love there. They could have been the ideal couple. They could have had everything.
Absolutely.
It could have worked on every level. Yeah. And as a result of your interference, that relationship died.
Or he lived to fight another day, or love another day.
Yeah. But, you know, what's the latest with you and your love life here? Because, I mean, we got some interesting people in the studio, because you got me, you know, and I'm in my marriage, and, you know, I consider myself to be happy. And then you got Paul, who's, what are you? How would you define your position
at
the moment?
I'm in between and wagging my tail.
Are you in between jobs? So what about you, Vino?
I'm pretty much the same. I'm wagging that tail.
Are you?
But I've not really been in the same class as you two. I've never been married. No. I've been in two relationships, one serious, one not so serious.
Yeah.
I've been single now for a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be another couple of years.
Yeah.
That's about as far as I can really tell you.
Do you know, it's interesting. We did one of these shows a few months ago, and there was a guy on there who was, at the time, he was single, and he was talking about being a single man in 2008 and what it's actually like. Because I can't, maybe Paul can shed some light on this, but I can't remember dating. Okay, do people still date?
Dating
do people
is the,
date? And this guy was saying that now he finds it really intimidating, because he'll go out on a Saturday night or Friday night with a couple of mates, but the girls will hunt in packs. It's like they're out to hunt the single bloke, and actually it's quite intimidating.
Well, he wants to go on the net.
Well, he made that point, but also he started talking about internet dating and stuff
like
that. Yeah. So what's it like? I mean, you're kind of in between jobs, but wagging your tail.
I've done the net.
Have you?
Mm. I've done the net, and I tell you, it's the most exciting thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
I'm like a little puppy jumping around, bursting out of its skin before.
When you say you've done the net, well, you've been on internet dating sites?
Yes.
Because someone was telling me about a website called Gumtree, where you can buy a second-hand lawnmower, but also there's a section on there that you can meet friends for a bit of fun, unquote. And you look at that and you think, my God. So what kind of website was it?
You'll be amazed that there are people on all these dating websites, and I would say 80% of them who have split up before, not singles, who have split up before for marriage or separated, divorced, and 80% of them just want to fill the physical void.
So you've actually used an internet dating site?
Absolutely. I don't think there's a stigma.
I don't think there's a stigma.
I'd rather enjoy it.
Because it's like a hobby in a way. Process, because I looked at one a while ago that was set up by Sarah Beeny. You know the woman who does... It's not location, Property Ladder.
Yeah.
And it's called My Single Best Friend.
Yeah, I've been on there.
Where, you've been on there.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating about it, and I've got a story to tell about this, because, you know, I did a radio show about dating and using the internet and stuff, so I thought I'd go and look at these various sites. And I looked at mysinglebestfriend.com or whatever, because it's quite interesting, because you don't put yourself on there, your mate puts you on there, because this is My Single Best Friend, and I recommend them, and they're great, and they're lovely. And in the part of the UK that I was based at the time, I kind of like clicked on the county and stuff, and I was looking at the section, and I was just like idly flicking through it, and I was just like clicking through, and I just thought that's quite interesting, and that woman, quite clearly she does come from Crawley, you know, and you go through all of this, and then I saw this woman, I thought, God, I recognise you.
Really?
I recognise you. And I clicked on it, and it had her name and stuff, and her best friend was going, this is so and so, and she's great, and one day she'll make a wonderful mother and wife and all of this. I thought, God, that rings. You know, sometimes you see a face, you kind of look at it and you think, I can't place it. And I carried on doing it. And it wasn't until about 3 weeks later that I was in the doctor's surgery, my little girl having her, having her jabs and stuff. And in walked the woman, and it was one of the doctors at the surgery.
Oh, no.
And it was like, I almost wanted to stop her and go, shake her hand and go, I didn't know you like sailing. And also, I didn't know you like Italian food. I didn't know your favourite film was Casablanca. And it was really bizarre, because it's almost a shock to see someone on there who you know, because you don't expect it.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
I was on that very website, and I actually wrote the profile for a guy called, well, I won't say his name, who's on there now.
Right.
He's in his mid-50s.
Yeah.
Lovely guy, very articulate, very knowledgeable. Mm. And he actually had his first date with this German girl.
Right.
And she looked lovely.
Yeah.
Nothing special.
Yeah.
Bit plain Jane, but, you know, you'd probably go there. And he took her out. And the first few dates was great.
Yeah.
And then on the third or fourth date, he copped off with her.
Right.
You tell me, do you truly know 110%, Duncan, that you know everything about your wife and what she's thinking?
Of course not. Absolutely not.
And marriage would be boring if you did.
Absolutely.
And would probably fail.
Or life would be boring, wouldn't it?
There's always got to be a bone in the cupboard.
You see, I get back to you in a second. what I find absolutely, what is the beautiful thing about life is I don't think you want to know everything about a person.
Really?
And, you know, I like getting the news of the world, okay? And I like the fact that there are some high-up judges or, you know, some celebrities who get their rocks off doing stuff they shouldn't. Because do you know what? They're human.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's all out there. And it's just like, fantastic. Do you know what, Max? If you get your kicks doing that, do you know, it doesn't turn me on. But actually, if it works for you, mate, you carry on doing
I'll tell you a story about my mum, who's a JP in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And you never know what human beings are going to do. You never know, because they're not programmed. You're absolutely right, Duncan.
Yeah.
They're never programmed.
No.
And she was sitting at a panel of three, senior judge.
Yeah.
This guy walks in. He's been nicked 7 or 8 times, and he's standing there in the box, in the witness box, you know, in the box, and he's being cross-examined, and all of a sudden my mum shouted out to him, "You?" And he went, no, I'm not. And she did it about 10 minutes. This is a true story. 10 minutes later, she said, "Are you doing?" And he went, yeah. Because he was in a situation.
Right.
And you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's actually what happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're programmed to be a member of society and abide by all the rules, how nice, how titillating it is to do something a little bit out of line and see how someone reacts. So if you, for example, meet someone on a date, Vino, right?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
And you have the bravado maybe to suggest a setup, a situation.
Yeah.
I know you like a spicy sausage, but spice up your life. Say to your wife, right, you go off in your car, I'll go off in mine.
Yeah.
We'll do a scenario.
Yeah.
I bet you will love it.
Vino, where do we get to with you? Well, you know, I mean, what's interesting, as you said a few moments ago, is that you reckon you're going to be single for at least another couple of years.
No,
well, why did you say that?
But have you looked on the net?
Yeah, clearly, it's a place to go.
Maybe we should do this as part of the show. We should do an experiment and send me out there.
Your hidden camera. You
know. Okay, well, you sure you want to commit to that? Because we could do that on the Duncan Bark Show, weekday mornings from 9. We could register you. I'll tell you what, we'll put you on my single best mate.
I'll write your profile.
My
friend's got to write your profile.
Yeah.
Just take a few pounds off me first, please.
Yeah, let's do it now. Yeah.
It's illusional.
Because, no, people want you like that. There are women that want you like that.
I think my biggest fear is what you said before. If I was, and I've got no kind of taboo about dating sites.
Yeah.
Not
no, I haven't got a taboo. It's alien to me because I've never used one. I've never had to.
And for me, my fear is it's being recognised.
Yeah.
It's being recognised probably more so by people in here than my own friends and family.
Why? I know people who are married as a result of meeting on the internet dating sites. There's no stigma attached
to it. Could you imagine
it?
Some people in this place finding my profile on a dating site? It'd be round this building like wildfire.
Well,
you'd never recover from that.
Really?
You'd never recover from that.
I think it's a self-esteem thing as well.
Maybe
it
probably is.
If you have confidence in yourself, you'll try it out.
See, I've always had confidence to meet people.
You are a confident person.
Yeah,
am I?
Yeah.
Since I first met you, no doubt about it.
I just found myself, when you're in a certain situation, I used to be a club DJ for 7 years. And
Wiki-wah.
Wiki-wah-wah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that was me.
On the wheels of steel.
And I want to kind of say here and say, oh, yeah, it was so easy to pick up women. But it just helps because the only thing it really, I mean, people have this taboo thing about DJs, oh, they're all kind of, but the only thing is, it just gives you that connection to females.
Yeah.
I'm not the type of person who can very easily go to a girl in a club and start chatting to her because instantly they know you're about to chat them up, and if they don't like you, it can be horrible.
See, I've never done that. I wouldn't know how to do it.
I wouldn't. But when I was a DJ, they come over to you.
Yeah.
So instantly there's an automatic click there, and that's how you can meet people.
You see, I find the whole dating thing. I see, I would never say I've been on a date. Do you know what I mean? That whole idea of, oh, we're going on a date now, automatically, I reckon, creates a false environment where no one is actually quite comfortable or happy.
Yeah.
You know, any relationships I've had have been born out of kind of just situations, really, and a lot of booze. So that's what it's all about.
You feral, you.
Because alcohol does help. It is City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. This is Bloke Talk for the weekend, and Paul Jacobs is here, and Vino is here, and I'm Duncan, so thank you very much for tuning in. I just want to touch back on the betting, not because I am fascinated about this, and it's rare to have two guys in here who are, you know, who kind of, I would say, do it a lot. It's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
What's the biggest bet you've ever put on, Paul?
I just pull it back there. I don't bet a lot.
Do you not?
I have maybe what I call a dozen main account bets a year, big bets that I make my money from.
Right.
So I have the odd smaller bets here and there, but I have main account bets.
So when I see you hunched over your PC on a daily basis, what's going on there then,
looking at the betting sites? I'm doing researching for my columns, horse racing columns I write at the weekend.
Okay.
I do a horse racing column every day, looking at the major meeting of the day, and I do my race line as well every day.
So let's talk about, I mean, you said that maybe 10 to a dozen major bets every year. What are we talking about?
Could be anything between a bet between £500 and £2,000. That would be my optimum, would be £2,000.
Yeah.
And it all depends about a potential return as well. That's what basically makes and shapes it.
Okay. And how do you decide what to bet on?
You basically play to your strengths, the areas you know about, and horse racing is the area I know about best. And as I said earlier on, you identify the patterns and the profiles of the horses, and you take it from there. I mean, I've had big bets as well in other sporting areas, but horse racing is my area of speciality.
So what is it, science or art?
It's a combination of both and a modicum of luck as well.
All right, Vino, what's your take on this?
Biggest bet for me, I never normally go over £100.
Yeah.
You might be surprised to hear this, but I actually do not like betting.
Right.
And I am not by heart a betting man. I love the sport.
Mm.
I love horse racing. Mm. See, I think a lot of people have this mentality where if you say to people, what's your favourite sport? My favourite sport's horse racing.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a big gambler.
Yeah.
That is absolute dinkum.
I mean, you can say it's association, isn't it?
You can say to some people, what's your favourite sport? It's soccer. Oh, are you a gambler? No, they don't. They just think, oh, what's your favourite football club?
But there is a natural association. People naturally, they presume, don't they?
Well, it is, but you can bet on any sport this day and age. I mean, it's you know, we've developed into so many spheres over the last few years with the introduction of internet betting, etc. And actually now betting on horse racing Is now less than betting in sports
really?
With all the major bookmakers.
Okay.
And it's really dropped down the kind of pecking order.
Yeah.
I love the sport. I love going through races. I like to go through the history, even its size, its dams.
Well, you do your research. I've seen you do it. You trace the family history, all the genealogy, don't you?
And I'm not in the same league as Paul, and it comes down to betting. I mean, he's Champions League, I'm Scottish Division 2 in terms of actual stakes.
Yeah. But it's all pro rata.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and for me, I see this as a hobby. It's never anything I'll ever do full time. I'll never make an income from it. Mm. If I'm honest, probably most years I probably lose.
Right.
So far this year, I'm probably up, only because I had a good win a couple of weeks ago, which you know about.
Yeah.
So to win a couple of £1,000 for me is a great kind of achievement. But to me, it's the enjoyment of the actual sport. It's the thrill of getting a win.
Mm-hmm.
But because I lose more than I actually win, for me, it takes that little bit of kind of like enjoyment away. I hate losing money. I work hard for my money, and I don't want to see it go away. But end of the year, if I can come out of it a penny in front, I'd be happy, because it's a hobby. Just like people pay money to see footballers, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to see millionaire footballers kicking a ball about. I want to see a full-on stallion going 5 furlongs and a mad sprint at Adot Park, and that's where I get my buzz.
All right, I'll pause for a second. It is Bloke Talk, and you're listening to City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
This is a man's world!
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing.
It is the weekend. It's Bloke Talk on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. I'm Duncan. Thank you for tuning in. Hope your weekend's going well. Vino is here and Paul Jacobs is here as well. We're just kind of like talking about stuff as you would expect. You know, nothing too challenging. A lot of onus on betting and sex. What do you reckon it's like being a bloke in 2008? Do you think it's easy being a bloke? What do you reckon, Paul? I mean, here you are. You're kind of like, you describe yourself as in between jobs and a dog who's wagging his tail when it comes to relationship. Good time for you?
I think it's at the moment it's quite a pressurised time with me, because I'm living back in my hometown, Liverpool, and my two kids, I'm separated from my wife, are down in London, and it is difficult.
Mm.
But, you know, there's pros and cons here. I love the job I do.
Yep.
It's the job I always wanted to get back into after working for another radio station.
Mm-hmm.
I have plenty of work on, touch wood, you know, that's the good thing with me. And at the moment, I like being all action. I like going up and down the country. If I stopped for 1 minute, it'd probably kill me.
Yeah.
And I like to be doing things. I love trading with people. I like communication.
Mm.
I like to meet new people every day. You know, think about this, Duncan, think about the number of people you meet in a lifetime. It can never, ever be enough to hear other people's experiences and what they do. And that is the joyous thing about life. It's the best thing about life. And I want to continue doing it. And if it means meeting as many women as possible, hey, that's a big bonus for me.
Well, you have a tremendous amount of energy, though. You know, and you just kind of alluded to that. You've got a lot of stuff on. You're traveling a hell of a lot. I mean, how do you kind of like, are you a big drinker, big smoker? How do you
keep
going?
Don't very rarely drink.
Are you high on life?
Drinker. An awful lot of college when I was down there. Used to smoke when I was younger, anymore. But of course, you remember, I did a B.Ed. course to become a P.E. teacher.
Yeah.
So I was relatively very, very, very fit. And I'm actually just gone back on a fitness course now because I miss it. I miss the vibe. I miss the adrenaline rush of keeping fit.
Yeah.
But I like to think I carry that through the rest of my life as well. I adore my kids.
Yeah.
You know, my kids mean everything to me, and I'll do everything. And you know, even my ex-wife, you know, she's a lovely person. I will do everything for them to keep their livelihood going. And it's not like I'll stop it because you're going to make me sick, Paul. It's the way it is, and it's the way I think. And if you're in the same position,
but your life changes, doesn't it? Once you have kids, your life changes.
And I
was talking about this during the week on the radio show, you know, talking about parental responsibility, and where does kind of like state intervention start, and should it start? You know, whose responsibility is it to teach a child about sex education?
Sure.
Well, as a parent, I see it as mine. I don't expect a teacher to do it. You know, it is that simple. And I was making this statement during the week that, you know, when the kid appears, that's it, your life changes. You signed up to this for a lifetime commitment. You know, it's not a couple of months of, oh, look, it's a nice little bundle and I've got some nice presents off the back of it.
Can I jump in there and say that, you know, there's only so much a parent can do. But I tell you what, if there were more responsible parents out there throughout the length and breadth of this country, we wouldn't have the amount of feral youths we have at the moment committing the crimes they do. To a certain extent, a certain percentage is different to every family and every set of children within that family. Yeah. It is the parents' responsibility, and that's why I've advocated on my programme, I'm sure you have as well on your programme, that, you know, if a feral youth is sent down under the age of 18, then the parent, to a certain extent, should also be penalised. And I firmly believe that.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Fina, what about you? 2008, good place for a man to be, a bloke to be?
Yeah, we're peaking.
What are we peaking on?
I think this is our time.
Yeah.
I think this is our time now. Yeah. We're in this this new millennium. Yeah. I just think things are great. I'm a single bloke, as we've pointed upon.
Yeah.
I have no qualms, no fears about the future. Yeah. I'm in a very happy place in my life at the minute. Yeah,
that's
there's
a good
no
place
woman,
to be, isn't it?
There's no woman, but it's fine.
Do you not
miss
going home to the warmth in your bed every night of a woman's flesh gliding beside yours?
Not at all. I've got a hot water bottle, and that does for me, in the winter times at least, anyway. Mm. No, not at all. I know where you're getting at, but no. I mean, obviously, we're different people. You know, I'm very very comfortable in my own skin, in my own company. Yeah. You know, I like other people's company. I can take it or leave it. Mm. I've always been like that. Mm. And
that's a great thing to have.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in my mid-30s now, and I've got to be honest, I'm pressurised by the parents saying, where's our grandkids? I've got a niece, I've got a nephew, I've got a sister who lives in Australia. I do get a bit of that, but I'm not the type of person who will turn around and panic marry, if you know what I mean.
I think self-esteem and to be happy in your own skin is a massive thing to have.
Yeah,
and if we ran on the tower here at City Talk 105.9 and asked everybody, and they were totally and utterly honest with us, I think there'll be very few people that could say that.
I think it's one of the greatest gifts, because do you know what? It is. If you are happy with who you are and what you're doing, that is one of the greatest things you can have. And I know so many people, and I actually see a lot of it with the opposite sex as well, who for whatever reason, and I think that actually media is partly to blame, and all of these magazines you see. You know, I mean, I talk to women, and, you know, I look at them and they'll go, I'm not happy about this, and I should lose a bit more weight, and I'm not happy about my job. And I think, my God, do you realise how special you are? And they don't see it, but they feel that there's this pressure to always be something else. And, you know, they pick up Heat magazine or they pick up Cosmopolitan, and it's those magazines that have got to take some responsibility.
Have a look at the example of Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful woman, born beautiful, had a famous father, has been through so many high profile relationships, and still down through the years is not happy with herself. Had to have her lips done so they're like Savaloy's, had to have other parts of her bodies done because she wasn't happy. In her beautiful set, and a talented lady, very high IQ, can speak several languages, and still, even though she's in a high-profile relationship now, it had to be a high-profile guy. Why is it she has to be in a high-profile relationship with another famous guy, relationship after relationship after I'll tell you why, because she has very little self-esteem, and she's massively insecure.
But she'll never be happy.
No.
She'll never be happy.
She won't.
I think it's one of the greatest gifts. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you're happy with who you are, and actually if you're quite happy with your lot, that's a hell of a good place to be.
Massive.
Let's talk about music for a second. It is City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. By the way, I've got the bloke talk questionnaire here, which you'll get in a second.
Love it.
But talk about music, because Paul, I've known you for about 7 months, and, you know, we sit almost side by side sharing a desk, and I know you like your horses, I know you like your betting, I know you like eating red peppers first thing in the morning.
Tremendous.
And then slightly strange Greek food that you get from Marks and Spencer's. Yeah. I know all of this about you, but I couldn't actually take a punt on what you like musically, but I'm just trying to think back.
You
like your 80s stuff, you must do. 80s
stuff? I like some of the 80s. I was a big romantic in the 80s.
Yeah.
Massive time. But I have a right across the spectrum of music. I love classical music. Yeah. I was brought up with classical music. I used to go with my dad to the Liverpool Royal Philharmonic Hall every other Saturday to listen to classical music. So I love Brahms. I love Rachmaninoff. I love Schubert.
Yeah.
I love Dvorak. Yeah. I have a great penchant for light rock. I always wish that Pat Benatar, the delicious, the sumptuous, the digestible Pat Benatar would come over here and tour, and she never did.
Did she not?
She never came here. Great fan of Bryan Adams' old stuff, not his commercial romantic crap. Yeah. Don't like that at all.
Yeah.
But his old stuff is absolutely tremendous.
What are you talking about? Are you talking like mid-80s, Reckless, Summer of 69, that kind of stuff?
I get mocked for liking Heart, for example.
Yeah, I like Heart,
I love the old Bon Jovi stuff. I saw them when they first came over here, their Live Forever tour, and just blew my mind away.
Yeah.
Absolutely blew my mind away. I love... I loved old ZZ Top stuff.
Love ZZ Top. Life, yeah, yeah. Just, oh, yeah.
And I love some of the old Van Halen was just incredible. Yeah. Some of the 12-inch stuff they did Van Halen. Yeah, the 12-inch version of Jump with the electrical stuff at the beginning, the keyboard, is... I mean, you drive to that and you, 9 times out of 10, you'll crash your car because you just get blown away. It's and I love hearing live music. There's nothing like live stuff.
I agree.
And I love taking my kids to live concerts. Yeah. And they get a thrill out of it as well.
I'm so glad you said what you said about classical music. I used to present a classical music radio show.
Really?
Which, when I was told I had to do it, I thought, oh, my God, I don't want to do this. But actually, the more you actually discover and research some of these great composers, they are rock and roll in their own way. You know,
some of them are way out. I mean, like
serious alcohol and drug abuse, you know, my ear doesn't work, but you know what? What the hell?
Duncan, you and I and everybody who presents here on City Talk 105.9, I would say the majority of us are frustrated actors.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I'm sure.
Vina, what about you, music-wise?
You might be surprised to hear I'd say classical stuff as well. Yeah. I love movie soundtracks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only type of music I buy.
What was the last soundtrack?
Soundtrack I bought was to the Da Vinci Code, I think it was. It's been a few months since I bought one, actually. Yeah. But anything, I do listen to Classic FM. Mm. I couldn't name you any of the artists the composers, but that kind of music, that kind of stuff that gets into the movies just blows me away. You know, stuff like Gladiators and stuff like that. Brilliant, love it.
Do you have one of these big sound systems at home where you've got kind of like you've got the bass woofer behind the sofa, and you've got in the corner of the living room a couple of little tweeters there. So when you sit there, it's just like all of a sudden when the music strikes up, it's like the whole Roman army's coming through your front door.
Right. I have actually.
Yeah, I thought you would do.
I like my stereo Dolby surround sound.
I think you do.
I also like.
Oh, can you hear that as a sound of glass breaking in the room next door?
Well, I listened to Pez Terra the other week on Blow Talk, and I do share his love of dance music.
Yeah.
As I said before, I was a club DJ for many years. Yeah. And you love that music. You get into that music. It's where you become a DJ.
Yeah.
And when you're into that kind of genre, it never really leaves you. And I love it.
What's been the best ever concert you've been to? A live concert, whatever the music may be?
Oh, well, I've been to many. My previous job here was head of music on Radio City.
Oh,
so
wow.
With that came a lot of gigs, whether I liked them or not.
So you've been to quite a lot. Right?
I've been to quite a few.
Roxette, have you seen them in concert?
I saw them in Liverpool. I saw them in Liverpool. There's probably not many artists I haven't seen and not many artists I haven't met.
Okay.
Wow. What would be the one if you could pick one out?
Yeah, go on.
The one live one?
Best live.
Madonna. Madonna.
I've seen Madonna.
Did you meet Madonna?
Yes. No, I haven't actually. Sorry. No. I haven't met Madonna.
Because she'll be on the market shortly. If you're looking for a slightly older woman, you know, her and Guy aren't going too well, apparently. Get a bit of hot Madge action.
I'd have to take on the kids, wouldn't I?
You don't want to do that.
I don't want to.
They've all got funny names. You wouldn't remember what to call them.
No.
Right, listen, the questionnaire is here. Pass it along. Pass that along to Jacobs. That's your one as well. This is a Bloke Talk questionnaire, which is in its final dying days, because in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to change Bloke Talk ever so slightly. The weekend, so this is the questionnaire's penultimate outing, and we have 7 questions on here, and it's just so people can get a bit of a better insight to the blokes in the studio this weekend. Question number one: what was the last film you watched, Vino?
Charlie Wilson's War on DVD.
I know nothing about that.
Tom Hanks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I didn't really enjoy it. It's one of these kind of biographical films based on a true life story.
Yeah.
Took me a while to get into it.
Didn't work for you.
Nah.
All right, Jake's last movie you watched?
American at the cinema. American, what was it called? Last year, with American something it was called. About the underworld. American Gangster. I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
Last one I watched on DVD at home. Yeah. One of the all time greats. The best British film ever made.
Yeah.
A Matter of Life and Death.
Yeah, you've talked about that before, haven't you?
The greatest British film of all time.
Okay. Question number two. How would you describe yourself politically, Jakes?
Very neutral.
Yeah?
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Don't have allegiance to one political party or the other, and I don't trust any politicians in any case, to be honest with you. I think a lot of them in it for themselves, and I think they're massively distanced from the general public of today, as are millionaire footballers today from their adoring fans, so we are from the people in power.
You see, if I listen to your radio show, we like labelling people politically, because that's what we like to do, we like putting people in boxes. You know, I could think that you were a right winger.
No.
So you wouldn't describe yourself as right wing, left wing, or liberal?
No.
What about you, Vino?
I'd say Labour, because I've been brought up in that kind of Labour household. Yeah. I live in a very Labour dominated town.
Yeah.
I think they're all the same. I can't choose between any of them. I think it's all spun by a PR these days.
Yeah.
I'm not fooled by it.
No.
Whoever was in power, I don't think much was changed.
Yeah.
But
like I say, you stop me in the car now, I'd say Labour still.
OK. Question number three. What's your favourite time of the day and why, Jakes?
Very early on in the morning, because when I was at sports college, I used to get up very early, used to exercise, used to go for runs. Yeah. I love the freshness. Yeah. I love the quietness. Used to be in Eastbourne and Brighton, and to run along the promenade, just unbelievable, especially in Eastbourne as well. Yeah. Fantastic. You can think to yourself. Wonderful. Yeah.
Beautiful. Love the early mornings. Vino?
Nighttime. I get to relax. I can do what I want. I keep my shoes off. I always try and watch a film a day. If I'm not working, I tend to watch a film.
Yeah.
So that's the only time I get to relax. But I do like getting up in the morning because I like what I do.
Good. You know, so. What could you not live without, Vino?
My immediate family.
Jakes?
Two things. My kids, no doubt, and women who wear hold-ups.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's just sensational. What? Just a glimpse just of the top.
Just below the knee. Just the,
pop socks, devil's work.
Yes.
But hold-ups.
Yes.
You see the top.
Yes.
The glimpse.
Yes.
Take it down to the ankle and the elevation of the shoe.
God,
drives me bloody mad.
Is that a fetish?
Yes.
Question number five. What would you like written on your gravestone? Vino.
Feel free to dance.
Brilliant. Jakes?
I fulfilled my potential.
Yeah.
On a serious one, I'd like to have born 1972, died 2072. It ain't going to happen, but I'd like it to.
Yeah.
I'd love to
it could happen.
Well, my family, I had a granny and a great granny who died well into old age. My great granny died when she was 103.
Blimey.
And it wasn't of old age either, which is amazing.
That is amazing. Question number six. Where is the best place in the world, Jakes?
Are you talking about place, city?
No, actually, I mean, it's open to interpretation.
Well,
but,
there you go.
All right, but a city, give me a city as well.
Best city of Auckland.
Okay.
I've been to Auckland. Yeah.
Vino, what about you? Any tumble dryers featuring?
No, best place, I'd say St. Lucia.
Yeah.
I loved it there, my best ever holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
Second answer would be the payout counter at William Hill. I do like to be standing there counting out crisp £20 notes off a miserable...
High five there!
Off
that
a
is miserable
counter girl who hates giving out what she's probably just earned in a month.
Well, tell me, I've never actually been in that situation where anyone's paid me out money. So do they ever smile when they have to fork out?
Have you ever been to a betting shop?
When they're not just painting
nails and putting on their orange makeup.
Yeah.
What you need to do is when you have a big win, you buy them, you give them some money to buy a drink.
Is that what you do?
And then every subsequent time you go in, they treat you like royalty. And
really?
It's worth it. Yeah, to get a quicker price, to get the price. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It works wonders.
You've learned something.
I do love winning in a betting shop. There's something different about it, because when you see the hard money, when you win on the internet or win on the phone, you never see it. You just see digits on a computer.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get the hard currency.
Yeah, I can see that.
Boy,
I can relate
you feel
to that.
Special.
All right, the final question on the Bloke Talk questionnaire is this one here. What is your favourite meal? Starter, main and pudding. Jakes, we'll start with you.
Starter, whitebait. I adore whitebait with a bit of lashing of lemon on it. I think and a bit of garlic. I think it's absolutely superb. Main, I'm a little torn here. I love the Greek dish of phalia, which is pork, and it's been in sort of in wine the night before. That's nice. But I love anything that is a roast.
Mm.
A good, solid, lumpy roast with lashings of gravy.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Yeah. And your pud, what's going to be your pud?
Pudding's very, very difficult. I love the old cheese board.
Yeah.
I don't think you can beat a cheese board with grapes and apple and a nice bit of port afterwards.
Yeah, I think you're right. Vino, favourite meal, starter, main and pud?
Starter, king prawn salad. I do love a bit of king prawn.
Yeah. Well, you can have a dressing with that at all. Is there any mayonnaise? What's going on there?
There's a bit of mayo. There's a bit of everything fun in there.
Okay.
That's what you kind of get served up.
I was just checking.
That's what you kind of get served up. Main, I just love my chicken. I'm a poultry person.
Right.
Chicken stir fry made by myself. I do a mean one.
Yeah.
Without the sauce, I don't do the sauce. Takes away the taste of the chicken.
So what do you do in your stir fry then?
I do.
Got your peppers in there, got your mushrooms.
Sometimes a bit of ginger.
Nice.
You
grate it in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a bit of garlic.
Get it all in.
Yeah.
Don't put sauce in. It takes all that away.
See, I prefer it. It's almost dry. I like it dry and fragrant.
You
don't like
it.
Loads of blooming liquid everywhere. And what about your pudding?
I'm going to cheat here, but it'd be Ben and Jerry's strawberry cheesecake. Love it.
All right.
I could eat the whole tub.
Jakes, thank you. It's been good. And Vino, thank you as well. This has been Bloke Talk at the weekend. It's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. We are back next weekend. For more details, log on to the website, www.citytalk.fm. And whatever you're doing, enjoy the rest of the weekend.